We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Your Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 338. Thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with us. We really do appreciate it.
You notice anything new sitting in front of us, Rob? I think you bought
it. It's the same old tea that you always drink, Paul.
Oh, I was talking about the drone.
Oh, the drone, yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
So today we're going to be talking about our initial thoughts on the Phantom 4. At first I thought, how different could the Phantom 4 really be? But it is actually pretty significantly different. So today we're going to talk about that. You know, some people have been asking me, what are your thoughts on the Phantom 4? Uh-huh. We don't have a recorded question of that, but I have so many emails and Instagram.
Yeah, and we've got a running list of questions that we're going to throw at you.
Yeah, so
see how you do.
Let's just start talking about the Phantom 4 from DJI. Brand new this year. Motors are the same. We've got a slightly bigger battery. The way that we charge the battery is different. The types of props that we use are different. Even the SD card holder is different. And even the gimbal is different. Even the camera lens is different. Mm-hmm. So, frankly, this is a much better drone. I think it's incredible. You know, a lot of people have asked me, well, Paul, would you get the Phantom 4 or would you get the Inspire 1?
Really? That question is...
Oh, yeah, all the
legit.
Time. And you know, I'm always going to say Inspire 1.
Right.
So,
but it's twice as much, at least.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, if your budget only allows for this, can you go out and make great videos and make money with it? Oh, yeah. Do you have to be a lot more careful about the movements you make because the props may get in the shot or your limitations with your gimbal? Yeah. But that's okay. So
it sounds like, though it looks pretty darn similar to the 3, it's quite a redesign.
It is a redesign. You know, one thing I really don't like, though, is kind of the Apple approach they've taken on some things. Remember the Phantom 2, we could take the flight controller right out of it. If we had a problem, we could fix it. It was no big deal. Phantom 3 was a little bit more difficult because of they put everything on one board, and now there are 3 to 4 boards inside of this, and there's no real flight controller that we can just kind of take apart. As you saw with our initial Phantom 4 review, when Andrew Baker came on, he had taken it apart, showed us what was on the inside of it. Yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
But one thing I noticed, in fact, there are a lot of things that I've noticed that people have not talked about on YouTube in their reviews. There are reviews that have millions of hits, but you learn nothing from them. Couple things just really quick that I've learned. Number one, this is the first sponge battery I've ever seen. I'm just using a slang term.
Did you just
here.
Make that up?
I just made that up. I just coined that term.
I thought so.
Sponge battery. You know why I call it a sponge battery?
Probably because of the holes.
Because you can see through it. I can actually see the camera through this. There are holes in the battery to help keep it cool. We flew this thing for actually a significant amount of time at 6,000 feet in elevation. So the battery specs that they're throwing out there, I think, are getting closer and closer to accurate.
So it performed really well, basically. The battery did.
Yeah. The battery performed extremely well. I got about 22, 23 minutes out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, for up here at this elevation.
Yeah, we're at 5,500 feet. So.
Yeah. And it performed amazingly well. Couple things I noticed. I love flying through objects. I love flying through trees. If you come out here and do one-on-one training with me, you're going to fly through pylons. This is not going to film and fly through things. That is the main difference that I've seen between the Phantom 3 Pro and the Phantom 4. Here's why.
That's a big statement.
If you check out this footage right here, I just gave John the footage, so he has it. We were trying to fly between these two trees, and I fly between these two trees at our office every day, like literally all the time. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just rip it through the two trees and then go to the park. This stopped. Now, I was in GPS mode, or the main mode. It stopped and got stuck between the two trees.
Like it. What do you mean?
The drone stopped? Stopped when it saw the two trees, right? It totally stopped.
Hmm.
And then it just sat there, like didn't know what to do. Like,
So that leads me to the question, and we're going to get a little bit more into the obstacle avoidance, but can that be turned off?
I don't know if obstacle avoidance could be turned off. Now, can we throw it in sport mode like we would an attitude and still fly through the trees? Yes.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Sport mode is not like attitude mode at all. It is attitude mode on roids. Now, can you turn down the gains and expos in sport mode to get that same attitude mode-like feel? Yes, you can, but you're going to be changing a lot of settings. Probably, I counted 8 different settings to tone it down to attitude mode. Wow. If you're used to flying in attitude mode. The thing is in sport mode is that your pitch angle, your roll angle, they've all been changed. So you can take them farther. Like there were some times I was really wondering whether the drone was going to stay on the correct axes and not flip over. But she did fine. The gimbal did hit many times when we were doing these fast motions.
Of course, you were really putting it through paces. I mean, you were giving it hell, shall we say, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, generally, you're not going to be running it that way and have to worry about the gimbal doing those things.
Correct, yes.
So one thing I want to follow, really quick, want to follow up. You said sport mode is attitude on roids.
Yes.
So we talk a lot about people needing to really work up to attitude mode and practice and practice. Are you saying someone who's pretty good at attitude mode, they're going to even need to go up another level?
Yes.
To fly sport mode well?
A much higher level.
Okay.
Also, I learned some things. Sport mode is just, it's like you're almost flying a racer. I mean, it's not acro mode. You know, you still have the auto leveling system, but you know, depending on how fast you're going, it won't do some of the things that the P3 will do. Like, for example, if I'm full tilt and I want to do a 180 left turn, it won't do it. But if I'm full tilt to do a 180 right turn, it'll do it. Hmm. And I don't know why. But there were a couple times, and I know Sam remembers, like, I would try to rip it around and it just wouldn't rip. Like, it would just, like, stop itself.
Interesting. So, and that said, you haven't done a ton of testing. There's a lot more testing to come.
Yes.
That needs to be done.
There is. Well, we also learned that the obstacle avoidance system isn't what we thought. And we knew there were going to be limitations to the system. We just didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost cut off our intern's hair by testing some of these things. Luckily, we didn't hit him.
Fortunately, we didn't make our own TMZ-style model
video. That was so horrible.
I'm sure everybody has seen that
by
now.
If you haven't gone to Facebook and looked at our latest Facebook post with the TMZ article, you have got to watch that. We wrote, what was it, reason number 400, blah, 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 that you need to learn to fly a drone.
Right.
And this guy literally flies right into the model, and then in the article blames it on the wind, but you can see like a clear pitch forward. Like he was definitely moving forward towards
her. I have to say, I don't know if you heard any of the follow-up to this, but she handled it like a champ.
She really did.
She was really cool about it.
Yeah.
So,
there are a lot of models I would not want to hit with a drone.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I wouldn't want to hit anyone with a drone, actually, now that I think about it.
Of course.
But the limitations on obstacles, and we will do our own like fully produced review video in time, but if you have a subject that's backlit, it won't stop.
Hmm.
Now think about that.
What's an example? Give me an example.
You have a shiny head. Right? I'm trying to give you a good example.
I walked right into that one.
Okay, so you've got a shiny head. Mm-hmm. If you're facing the camera, which you are, and the sun was behind you, and the drone was the camera, you would get hit by the drone with your shiny dome.
That is good to know. So we will not be testing this on me.
No. You've got you
or
don't
any
have
humans for that
you don't
matter.
Have any hair
or
that
even
we
animals.
Could cut off.
Hmm?
You don't have any hair that we could cut off.
No, it just leaves my head. Actually,
are you telling me you don't want to be like that model from TMZ?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
I mean, really, though, I know there are other limitations, like it doesn't see poles. So it doesn't also see like lines. If you see like one particular wire line, it won't see it. It'll still get caught up. And sport mode really, though, is for super advanced people. It's not. If you are new to drones, or if you're new to drones in the last 8 months, you're not ready for sport mode.
Okay, so what mode should they use on the P4?
Just the regular.
So do you only have 2 modes?
No, you have multiple modes, more than 2. But here's the thing. What I love about what DJI has done is they've made it easier to fly for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because all the gains in GPS mode were turned down even more than the P3 Pro. So, I mean, when you move this thing forward, it like creeps forward. Very slow, but but the footage is very smooth.
All right, so they're going for beginners and being able to get good footage.
One end of the extreme to the other. Very slow, everyone will take great footage, to, oh my word, this thing's about to hit somebody.
Right.
So,
all right, so kind of following along in those lines, the stability, how is that relative to...
Incredible.
Really?
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Yeah, she wouldn't move at all. I'm really excited to take some long exposure photos with this thing just because of... how well it stays in one place.
Right.
You know, this has multiple IMUs. It's got multiple compass pucks, so you're getting a level of triangulation that you really haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really going to do a lot for ability to fly in wind. I think it's going to do a lot for the ability to fly in, if you're doing these long exposure shots.
Right.
Can that cause difficulty and problems having the dual IMUs? Yes, it can. We've seen people who were able to calibrate one IMU but not the other, and then because of that, they were unable to fly.
Yeah, I mean, so conflicting at that point.
Yes. So, is it, you know, a great tool? Absolutely, especially for close proximity locations because. You do have obstacle avoidance. You can see on screen. Like what DJI did with the app and the Phantom 4 was really make the Phantom 4 feel like a video game. There's an RPM gauge now in the app that no one's ever seen before. And I haven't seen these things mentioned by anybody. So it's like, I've seen all these reviews and there's so much information that's just not there. You know, they make it look like you're in a video game, the RPM gauge, you know, your distance, you can share all your information with everyone, which I'm not going to do. But they definitely make it feel more like of an experience. Like,
yeah.
You know, this is definitely a consumer drone. This is definitely something that would get someone excited. But, you know, when you first get this thing, hone in, like, how do I say this? Be tame on the excitement. Like, you really need to learn this thing. There are many steps that people go through in learning to fly, like many steps where people crash. That's why we did the whole don't crash course,
right.
Because we like said, oh, wait, that's something that everyone crashes on. That's something that everyone crashes on.
And in this case, it's got a lot of power and speed.
Yes. If you are in sport mode.
Right.
If you're in the regular GPS Opti mode, it's slower than usual.
But
so,
I think you were surprised even by how fast it was.
I was very surprised.
Yeah.
It was like solo fast. So,
yeah.
And that was one of the things I initially loved about the solo, but that speed ended up inhibiting the solo because of all the
right.
vibrations in the gimbal. And people ask me all the time, you know, solo or Phantom 4, and it's like, here's what you just need to think about. Can you get the same shots with them? Sure. The amount of posts you got to do with the solo versus the amount of posts you got to do on a Phantom 4 is significantly different.
Right.
You know, you throw these files into Final Cut Pro or or Premiere Pro, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
With some of those GoPro files, the amount of jello that you have and some of the issues you have, you really have a lot of post-production work to do. So I love the solo. It's fast. It's like, you know, it's like a racer mixed with a consumer drone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the gimbal's not there yet. So.
So speaking to that, and I know we haven't done a lot of testing, very, very little actually. The camera, are you excited about the camera or you're still kind of learning about it, obviously?
So this is something that one of our other instructors here at DroneU has actually really talked a lot about. He loves the lens on this camera. He thinks it's a lot better glass and he sees a lot more sharpness in the images.
Okay.
He said in the Phantom 3, he saw a lot of warping in the corners of the images and that, you know, they weren't quite right. And I saw that too. At the edges of the sensor, you could definitely tell there was some distortion. I know this sounds weird. I haven't taken a photo with this thing yet. It's just been crazy busy here.
It's been happy being in sport mode and going crazy.
Well, I mean, at first, when I had sport mode, I was like, whoa. I mean, seriously, our reaction was, I took it out there with the intern, and at the end of it, I was like, oh, I never let him fly it. Like, I should have let him fly it, you know? But
you like being called the intern? no, he says.
There's a couple good movies called The Intern, though.
Yes, there are. What about the gimbal? Any huge improvements to that?
Yes, the gimbal can handle speed better than any prior gimbals. Normally, at higher speeds, even with the Phantom 3, you would get some vibration, some movement, but this thing is rock solid.
Yeah.
And even the isolation plate, too, is totally different than what you would see in any other drone. So it's X3 level stability with this gimbal.
So again, it's going to help that beginner create more professional shots.
Yeah, but what I think the bigger aspect of it here, Rob, is that so many people are buying drones, no matter what industry you're in.
Yeah.
People see uses for it. And what this is going to allow them to do is fly slowly, avoid obstacles that are big enough to be seen,
right,
and allow them to take pictures of things like inspection towers without worrying about hitting them. Now, that's also a false sense of hope, because that can get you in trouble really fast.
A false sense of hope, meaning it's you better know what you're doing,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. And I love most of the reviews. They're like, this is the best drone I've ever crashed. Because a lot of these
funny
people who are doing these reviews have no clue how to fly well.
Yeah.
I mean, they can fly, but they can't fly well.
And so what happens with something like this, especially if you get in sport mode, is you start to fly beyond your capabilities.
Yeah.
And that's when you crash.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay, so another question that I had, still using Lightbridge, what's the feed like? How is all that working out?
So they say it's Lightbridge derived, but I will say the feed was actually a lot more solid than even what I get on my Inspire 1. It never really cut out on me. We flew this thing a pretty significant distance away and never had an issue with the feed.
Cool.
I would say it's one of the most reliable feeds I've seen from DJI so far.
Good.
So, and you know, my Inspire 1 still has issues with its feed. You know, it's not perfect by any means.
Yeah.
And the fly sight helps out, but here I was using my iPhone, and then we used the iPad for a while, and it was fine.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, it was very solid.
So kind of an interesting thing that actually you just discovered as we were preparing for this was the card slot.
Yeah, it's reversed from the P3. On the P3, you put the card in facing up like the regular way, and this, it's upside down.
Right.
And I almost got the card stuck and broken in the
SD
card.
I don't know why they did that. That doesn't, anyways, it is what it is. You just need to be aware so you don't shove a card in there and get it stuck.
True.
That'd suck.
But the one thing that I think a lot of people, again, something that people haven't talked about, is the amount of maintenance you're going to have on this versus the P3 is exponentially higher.
Higher?
Yeah. Because you've got to keep these two camera sensors clean all the time if it's actually going to avoid obstacles properly. And then you've got to keep the sensors and cameras on the bottom clean, because if you have a VPS issue, you can't turn VPS off in this, which I really don't like. Because on the Phantom 3, if you have a VPS, which is Visioning Position System Error, you just turn VPS off and continue to fly.
Yeah.
And I have had VPS have errors. It's normally when I'm flying in dusty places, like ranches. I've had that error come up, and that's something that I really don't like. Another really cool feature, though, if you're shooting long exposure photos, you can turn the front lights off on the Phantom 4. That's really, really, really
cool. That is cool. Yeah. No, that's keeping the photographer, cinematographer in mind while they're designing this.
Yes. And that's something that Solo promised to do, but in the first year, you can't do it.
Still not being able, not able to be done.
That's one thing in this world. You cannot overpromise and underdeliver, or else you die.
Yeah.
It's straight up.
Well, yeah, it happens way too often, as we know. Obstacle avoidance, is that something, I mean, who's going to really depend on that at this point?
The new consumers who want to buy a cool drone.
But I think maybe they're going to get themselves in trouble.
Yes.
By relying on that. I almost think you need to kind of forget about it. And if it helps you at some point, great.
Well, I think it's actually one of the benefits of the RealSense technology over the Phantom 4 technology. Because RealSense utilizes ultrasonic sensors around it as well, not just below. And you can trick these cameras very easily. You know, I told you about the backlight issue. I've told you about its inability to see shiny metal objects like poles. So is it a false sense of hope? I think that's your question.
A false sense of security that I don't think people should be relying on, especially since it's in its first iteration.
Yeah, and you know, you can't trust technology right away. There are always limitations and nuances that you've got to figure out. You know, even when I like go out and buy a new car, you know, I want to test different features of it to see how strong the features are, what will it do, what won't it do. You know, like for example, when you buy a new car, one of the things that you should always do, or even a used car, is turn the wheel all the way and then gas it in a circle and see if you hear any
right,
because that means the CV joints either weak or going bad.
Yeah.
So like there are tests that you should be doing to learn this system inside and out. That's that whole deliberate practice model that we've talked about. And I'm just so happy that it's something I did on accident It's just kind of how my mind works. I want to test each individual feature.
Right.
What's the limitation? What can it do? What it cannot do? And honestly, I love the sport mode, but I would tone the settings down significantly because you can't really film in sport mode.
Right.
It's really, really jittery.
But you can by adjusting the settings.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
So what is sport mode? If you're familiar with the Expos on your Phantom 3, imagine all your Expos turned to 0.5. Your normal Expos are 0.3 or 0.4. What is that doing? It's making every movement more sensitive, and it's exponentially more sensitive. That's what mm-hmm. Expo stands for, is exponential movements. So you really have to be careful. I mean, if you're going to use sport mode, go into your settings, turn on multiple modes, and turn down the Expos to 0.3 or 0.4 if you're not used to flying in attitude mode all the time.
Right.
If you can't fly an Inspire 1 full FPV, don't fly sport mode. So just because... it even surprised me significantly how agile it was.
Right.
It's like going from high school lacrosse to pro lacrosse.
Yeah.
100-mile-an-hour shots, 60-mile-an-hour shots. Like, that's kind of the difference.
It's a big jump.
Huge jump.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let me ask you this. Would you ever buy your teenage son a Porsche for his first car?
I wouldn't buy him for his third car.
Okay.
So no, I wouldn't. So I would
then,
not. Absolutely not.
In that analogy, don't buy your son and give him sport mode because he will crash it and he will get in trouble. And again, guys, just something I want to reiterate. Remember that whether you're flying hobby or whether you're flying commercial, something that the FAA and the AMA do not require, which I think should be required, is insurance. No matter what you're doing, this thing should be insured. If you hit someone, if you cause significant damage to someone or someone's property, can you really afford that? You know, what if someone has their eye cut off? Mm-hmm. For some reason, you know, we have seen that happen. You've got to be thinking of these things, and FAA, shame on you for not requiring that of all things. I think it's really, really important. But also, I heard of a new insurance company, Lloyd's of London, is actually insuring people. You have to have a 333 for them, though.
Okay.
But they will insure all of your vehicles under one umbrella policy.
That's huge.
Instead of one vehicle and then switch it like we do right now. So,
yeah, we're going to have to talk to Shan about that.
But do you know, it's a pretty significant difference in cost, too.
It is.
$1,600 versus $1,100.
Well, we need to talk more about that because it's not as low as it used to be. But anyways.
Oh, really?
No, it's not. Doesn't make me very happy. Anyway.
That doesn't make me happy either. We got to make sure those policy provisions that we were talking about were struck. So,
yeah.
Anyway, guys, overall, love the Phantom 4. Super agile, super stable. If you're new to drones, the GPS mode, the regular GPS mode, is going to be very slow, and you're going to get really smooth shots right out of the box. Don't forget, there are things you need to do with this thing before you take it out of the box and fly. Like IMU cals, like compass cals. Mm-hmm. There are also other settings that I adjusted. We just added this to the Don't Crash course, which will be up soon. But we did something totally different with the Don't Crash course this time. You know, we all make fun of the intern sometimes. We don't, Sam. But having someone young, high school age, around asking questions while mm-hmm. we're going through the Don't Crash course has added so much to the course because I can answer those questions on camera. I can
right.
talk about those issues on camera. So we've really added a lot to the Don't Crash course. And before, I thought it was the best 90 minutes of drone training on the internet, and now there's no doubt in my mind that it is the best, hands down, without a doubt. No one can touch it. And
love
I just
it.
Say that because a lot of people out there who are training with drones do not actually fly drones for a living. They don't take them to different locations and learn how location and elevation and barometric pressure and how everything affects that.
Sure.
So, like I said, I give the example of Unmanned Experts in Colorado who had a student fly an Inspire 1 through the tent because they didn't set their lost signal what to do. It should have been hover, not return to home at 150 feet. So it was really funny to watch them ruin a building in Colorado. So anyway, it's just my point is in the deliberate model, they talk about people who train you or teach you have to have the experience to know the ins and the outs. I haven't talked about it in a while, and it's just something I want to reiterate that what makes us different is that.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. So,
anyway.
Anyways, I'm sure a lot of you guys have specific questions relating to the Phantom 4. Get those into us. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming of answering your questions tomorrow. And look forward to doing that. So askdroneu.com. Get us those questions and we'll get them on the air.
Definitely, guys. And if you have any P4 related questions, send them in. Really interested to know what you're thinking about it. Would I buy one of these if I didn't have an Inspire? Absolutely. I think the quality in photos is definitely going to give you competitive advantage when it comes to marketing your business. But if you have an Inspire 1, should you buy one of these? Depends on how much night shooting you're doing, because I think that the stability, I think that the multiple IMUs and compasses really provides for crystal clear night images. Yep. And a lot of 323 guys are not allowed to do night stuff. This depends on your situation.
Absolutely, as always. By the way, we are still running the contest for a free annual membership.
Awesome.
We're on podcast 338, so there's 12 more opportunities to get your question in. Podcast 301 through 350 will be entered in to win. So get your question in.
Definitely get your question. We really appreciate it. Again, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com and upload that question. Go to Instagram, instagram.com@thedroneu. And then Twitter is twitter.com/thedroneu, facebook.com/droneu. So very excited about everything, guys. Seriously, thank you for everything. Thank you for the reviews. Thank you for sharing the podcast with someone. We seriously appreciate it. We've got some new interviews coming up. John Rupert's coming on board here soon to do an update on everything. Very excited about that. And again, you know, we're all waiting for 107. We're all wondering what's going on. It's very interesting. Congress went back into session yesterday, so maybe we'll see something with the bill that came over from the Senate. I doubt it, but we'll see. Anyway, guys, just want to give you an update. Thank you again so much for listening. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.